Have you ever felt it? That kind of subtle, almost imperceptible hum.
What do you mean?
You know, that feeling that something fundamental is shifting around you.
Oh, yeah, definitely. In how we work, how we
In
connect.
what we value, right? It's like it's hard to put words to it.
Exactly. It's
Yeah.
just there. Well, if that feeling resonates with you listening, then get ready.
Yeah, because our deep dive today is going to try and put a name finally to that feeling.
Oh, we are so excited about this. We just finished this incredible new book, The Vibe Economy, from Praxeotech Publications.
Incredible is the right word.
It really is. It feels less like just a book and more like a key
The
almost.
key, yeah. It takes all
Yeah.
those, vague feelings and experiences we're having
Those shifts we can't quite articulate.
and gives them this clear, really actionable framework. It's quite striking.
It really is. It feels less like abstract theory and more like, well, like a map for what's happening right now.
Totally. So our mission today is to unpack the core insights from the vibe economy.
Yeah, we want to help you understand this new, well, the book calls it an operating system for reality.
I like that. An operating system where how something feels is becoming, well, way more important than just how it performs on paper.
Massively more important. And the book's central idea really gets at this.
Go on.
It proposes this profound transformation,
Yeah.
cultural, technological, economic, all of it.
Okay.
And it basically says that emotional resonance, that deep felt connection, that's becoming the primary currency of value.
Wow. So it's surpassing things like efficiency or
There.
reach, even performance.
Consistently, yeah.
Yeah.
The book argues it prioritizes felt impact over measured output, purpose over just pure optimization.
Identity over conformity. I mean, that's huge.
It really is. It's a move from automation to emotion, it says, from tracking to tuning in.
Okay, tracking to tuning in. Can you break that down a bit? Maybe use that that coffee shop example, Maya.
Oh, the Maya anecdote? Yeah, it's
Huh?
perfect. So picture Maya in Atlanta.
Okay.
She gets this customized lavender oat milk latte ordered via an AI barista app. Inside the shop, the music, this ambient lo-fi, it's synced to her mood.
Wild.
The windows even have this smart tint that adjusts for her. Now, on paper, like transactionally,
Yeah.
nothing earth-shattering happened, no big discount, no crazy efficiency leap.
Right.
And yet, she walks out feeling like everything was just right.
Ah, okay. So it wasn't just buying coffee.
Exactly. It wasn't just retail, it was a curated vibe. And that illustrates the shift perfectly. We're moving beyond just counting the lattes sold.
Devaluing the emotional resonance, the feeling itself.
Precisely. And people are increasingly willing to pay a premium for that feeling.
So this brings us to the first big theme, right? This great rebalancing of value, moving from metrics to meaning.
Yeah. And the book starts by tackling our obsession with perfection through metrics for like a century.
Oh yeah, Taylorism and factories, timing every little movement.
Right. Then KPIs in boardrooms, OKRs flooding our Slack channels.
Optimization basically became a religion. Data was scripture.
Totally. We quantified everything, biohacked our lives, A/B tested relationships practically, always chasing the perfect number.
But that chase, that relentless pursuit, it had costs, right? Hidden costs.
Huge costs. The book cites Gallup research. 76% of employees in those super metric heavy places increased burnout.
76%.
I know. And Harvard Business Review found creativity dropped 45% under hyper-monitoring.
Ouch.
And then there's Gen Z. Nearly 70% report imposter syndrome from this constant comparison. They call it the compare and despair trap.
So chasing optimized performance kind of made us feel like frauds.
Paradoxically, yes.
Exactly. Okay, so that paints a pretty bleak picture of the downside. But the book talks about a counter movement, right? This great pivot.
Yes, the great pivot towards authenticity. And you see signs of it everywhere.
Like what? Give us some examples.
Okay, think about Be Real. That app exploded in what, 2021?
Yeah, I remember that.
Its whole thing was show your actual life. No filters, no staging, just real. Downloads jumped 300% in a year.
Because people craved that authenticity.
Absolutely. Or look at TikTok. Those raw, unpolished videos. They outperform slick, polished ads by 120%.
Get out! 120%.
Yeah, like 8.7% click-through versus maybe 1.2% for glossy Instagram ads. It's nuts.
Wow.
Even something like Substack Rise, it's not just about newsletters, it's people reclaiming a human voice. Yeah.
So the message is being real matters more now, like authentic intelligence.
AQ, yeah. The book argues AQ, how aligned, how emotionally attuned, how real you are, often matters more than just raw IQ now.
Interesting. And how did this play out at work? You mentioned quiet quitting earlier.
Right, quiet quitting. By 2023, it was affecting over half the U.S. workforce. And the book argues it wasn't really laziness.
No. What was it then?
It was disillusionment. People stopped optimizing just for the next promotion. They started optimizing for, like, peace.
Oh, well-being.
So the metric shifted.
Exactly. The new metric became belonging. And you see this economically, too. Creator-led brands, user-generated content, UGC.
Yeah.
They're crushing traditional campaigns. UGC drove 161% more e-commerce conversions than studio ads. 161%. That's staggering.
And trust. Consumers trust influencers at 78% compared to just 34% for traditional ads. People want connection.
They're choosing real people over polished messages.
Wow.
Wow. Okay.
It leads into this idea that calls the quantification hangover.
The hangover, right. I remember that story about the CEO in Copenhagen.
Oh, yeah, that's a powerful one. Built his whole empire on numbers, KPIs, reports.
And then realized.
Realized he'd lost the meaning, the why. So he literally prints out all the performance reports.
Pages and pages.
And burns them in an alley.
Publicly.
Whoa, that's intense.
It wasn't just drama. The book frames it as an act of grief, recognizing he'd optimized for everything except what mattered.
And that leads to the resonance paradigm.
Exactly. Moving away from KPI theater, as the book calls it, away from toxic productivity.
Towards what then? What are the new metrics?
Things like emotional ROI, meaning density, felt KPIs.
Felt KPIs.
Yeah.
I like that.
Yeah. Think about psychological safety in workplaces. Now we know it predicts innovation better than almost anything. Right. Google's Project Aristotle found that.
Or brands winning loyalty through shared values, not just price wars. AI tracking sentiment, not just clicks.
And even personally, right. People choosing journaling, digital detoxes.
Over constant self-optimization apps. Yeah. It's optimizing for soul, not just spreadsheets.
And the economics back this up. This meaning premium.
Massively. Purpose-driven brands growing 69% faster.
69%.
And customer loyalty. 80% higher for brands aligned with their values.
That's huge. So business models have to change, too.
Absolutely. Moving from ad-based attention grabbing.
To subscription and community models that build trust.
Exactly. It's a shift from attention economies to trust economies.
Oh, the takeaway is crystal clear, then. Meaning is the new metric.
And resonance is the new ROI. It really does change everything.
Okay, so if value itself is shifting, how does that remake our actual lives? Work, identity, part two territory.
Right. And the book tackles this with what it calls the Harmony Rebellion, a direct pushback against hustle culture.
Oh, hustle culture. 80-hour weeks, rise and grind.
For decades, right. Glorified burnout. By 2019, the WHO even classified burnout as a syndrome.
And by 2023, what, 59% of the workforce felt disengaged?
Yep. Hustle culture crashed and burned.
So Harmony is the counterspell.
That's how the book puts it, yeah. It's about matching effort to energy, aligning work with meaning, balancing ambition with well-being.
And we're seeing this actually happen in the real world.
Definitely. Sweden's experiments with six-hour workdays, higher productivity, fewer sick days.
Right.
U.S. pilots with four-day work weeks, productivity up 20-40%. Stress down 78%.
Wow, 78% less stress is huge.
And here's where AI comes in, interestingly. The book calls AI the new timekeeper.
How sick.
By clearing the mental clutter, automating the annoying stuff, scheduling, email sorting.
Ah, so it protects our white space, our focus time.
Exactly. It's not just about doing more faster. It's about guarding your cognitive bandwidth, helping you design your focus.
Okay, that makes sense. But this also brings up identity, right?
Yeah.
In the age of AI, the superhuman trap.
Yeah, that's a fascinating bit. Remember the anecdote about the person in Portland? Med student, coder, artist, advocate.
Right, doing everything. 500,000 followers.
Looks superhuman on the outside. But then finds herself on the bathroom floor asking, who even am I anymore?
That hits hard.
It speaks to what the book calls fluid multiplicity. The full stack human. You're not just one thing anymore.
And AI amplifies that. Lets you be all those things.
It empowers it, yeah. Allows you to pursue multiple paths much more easily.
But that sounds like it could be overwhelming.
Exactly. That's the ambition paradox.
Hmm.
AI collapses friction, right? A designer uses AI tools, does six projects instead of one.
Sounds great.
But it creates new pressures. Infinite draft syndrome you can tweak forever. Frictionless burnout. No natural stopping points.
Ah, so it's productivity paradox 2.0. Output goes up.
Yeah, like 40% faster code, 59% more business content.
But well-being goes down.
Exactly. 25% rise in burnout reported, 15% drop in life satisfaction in some studies.
Yikes. So what's the solution?
Orchestration literacy, the book says. Knowing what not to do. Strategic restraint.
Interesting. So the most powerful prompt isn't code, it's...
pause. Just pause. Take a breath.
Mm-hmm.
Choose purpose over more output.
I love that. Okay, and this focus on well-being, on purpose, it's changing work cultures too. Casual by design.
Totally. The great unbuttoning of work.
Yeah.
Moving from rigid synchronous offices.
To async first rhythm-based work, like that CEO in pajama bottom.
Yeah. Conducting an all-hands call, toddler runs in and it becomes this viral moment of authenticity.
Because it felt real and psychological safety is key here.
Paramount. Google's Project Aristotle proved it. Number one factor in team effectiveness, more than an individual skill.
So how does that change daily interactions, workflows?
It leads to what the book calls emotional workflows, where vibe checks start replacing time cards.
Vibe checks. Tell me more.
There's an example of a manager starting meetings by lighting a candle and just asking vibe check, one word, where's your head at?
Mm. And that helped.
Dramatically. Turned a mechanical meeting into a meaningful one. They resolved a 3-week conflict in 45 minutes just by acknowledging the underlying emotional energy.
So emotional energy is the new work.
In a way, yes. And the results. Teams with high emotional intelligence see 50% lower turnover, 40% less burnout.
And 27% higher profitability. Wow.
Okay. And the last piece here is AI's role in our inner lives. AI is inner infrastructure.
Okay.
The book frames AI as both mirror and muse for personal growth.
Mirror and muse. How?
As a mirror, it reflects our patterns, maybe biases we don't see, gives us self-awareness.
Okay, I see that. And as a muse.
It provides generative sparks,
mm-hmm.
breaks creative blocks, helps explore new ideals.
So together, they're like a
multiplier for agency, yeah.
Yeah.
Support agents handle 14% more issues. Developers write 126% more code tasks. Not by working harder, but smarter with AI.
And this empowers more people.
Massively. This Trinity pyramid, human insight, AI reflection, AI generation, lets millions contribute at levels once only for elites. It accelerates personal evolution.
Enabling co-actualization, as the book puts it. Becoming more human, not less.
Exactly.
Okay, so we've covered value, work, identity. What about connection? How we connect and grow, part 3.
Right. Moving beyond just the click, the book calls this shift, talk, don't shout.
Talk, don't shout. I like it. Like that sushi restaurant example.
Yeah, the San Diego place back in 2012, stuffing its website with cheap sushi San Diego just for Google rank.
Right. It worked for clicks, but...
but people bounced. It felt like buying sushi from a robot, they said. Trust tanked.
Because our brains don't like being shouted out with P words.
Exactly. Our brains crave semantic rhythm, the book says, for cognitive ease.
Cognitive ease. Makes sense.
When content flows naturally, conversationally, it feels right. We relax, we understand, we engage.
And the new AI, the LLMs, they favor that, no?
They do. Relevance, clarity, and that emotional cadence. And it works. Brands using this natural vibe-first messaging, seeing 42% higher conversions.
49%.
And 35% lower customer acquisition costs. It's about real connection.
Okay, so talk, don't shout is the how. What's the why? Why does resonance win?
Ah, this is crucial. It's about contrasting reach, you know, impressions, likes, vanity metric.
With resonance, a felt shift,
yeah,
a memory made, a DM sent, real action.
Precisely. The book introduces the emotional echo, messages that are emotionally congruent, that really land with someone.
Yeah.
They're twice as likely to be remembered and acted upon.
Twice as likely. So it's not how many saw it.
No. It's who felt it.
Yeah.
And what do they do next? That creates the spiral of resonance.
Spiral of resonance.
Meaningful content leads to people advocating for it, sharing it genuinely. It spirals deeper into loyalty, community, not just surface level engagement.
Which connects to intimacy at scale, right? The personal shift.
Yes. That anecdote about Mark, the guy who got that raw email from the devotional writer.
Yeah, it felt like a secret shared just with him.
Exactly. Not polished, not mass marketed. And Mark, who never replied to emails, felt he had it right back. A real connection formed.
And that illustrates the audience of one economy.
Perfectly. Deep bonds with maybe just a few thousand true fans can outperform reaching millions who don't really care. It's depth over breadth.
Cultivating meaning.
Yes.
Yeah.
And finally, even identity itself is being designed by vibe.
Not just demographics.
Not just demographics. Think of the Netflix Tatum sound.
Oh, yeah. Instantly recognizable.
Two notes, less than a second. Mm. But for millions, it evokes comfort, escape, anticipation. It's not a logo. It's a mood-setting spell.
engineered feeling.
Because in the vibe economy, how something feels to engage with is just so much more powerful, more sticky than just what it says or does.
Wow. Okay. So wrapping this all up.
If you connect all these dots, what the vibe economy is really showing us is this fundamental change.
Prioritizing meaning, emotion, felt impact.
Over pure efficiency, cold numbers, shallow reach. It's about building a future that's, well, more you.
And that is exactly why this book, The Vibe Economy, feels so essential right now. It gives us that framework, that language.
For understanding these shifts happening all around us, which are often subtle, right?
Yeah. Yeah, but deeply impactful. It helps make sense of these new rules being written in mood, in meaning, in connection.
Which leaves us with a final thought, maybe a question for you, the listener, to mull over.
Okay, let's hear it.
In this world where AI can automate almost anything, amplify our abilities like never before, maybe the most vital skill isn't just doing more or even knowing more.
What is it then?
Perhaps it's learning to feel more, to really discern what truly resonates deep down with your values yourself.
So the question becomes, what will you choose to measure in your own life, your work?
Exactly. And maybe even more importantly, what vibe will you intentionally create